Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Back in the country, back in the habit. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the football.
Nuns on the Run 2. Was it Sister Act 2?
Sister Act 2, idiot.
Nuns on the Run's got Eric Idle in it, though, so.
Get your nun films right.
Weirdly, our Wikipedia did say that Whoopi Goldberg was a presenter on this show, so
really?
Strangely relevant.
God bless her. It is a football ramble, ladies and gentlemen, in case you hadn't figured that out. And I'm joined by Luke.
All right.
Pete.
Hello.
James or Jim.
Hello.
We've returned safely from Joburg. And it's no longer World Cup ramble, it's just back to the plain old football ramble.
Yeah, the pre-season friendly ramble.
Yeah. Yeah. The original and best ramble.
Yeah.
And I can't believe it's not the ramble.
It is.
We're going to start with an opening question inspired by one man's decision to quit international football. Ladies and gentlemen. Or just Wayne Rooney. Yeah, in case you didn't hear. What is your favourite Emil Heskey goal of all time?
Favourite of all time?
I, wow. I was going to say...
This shouldn't take long.
I was going to say international goal, but...
We only got
seven.
Seven.
Yeah.
Favourite Heskey goals. Luke, kick us off. Get us off to a good start.
I'll try, but I'll feel under pressure.
I think we all do.
Well, perform. Yeah.
One thing I would like to say about this goal is the reason that it's one of my favourites is because, I'm not sure if you remember, maybe our younger listeners may not be quite so aware, that back in the day when Emil Heskey was at Leicester, where he, you know, did okay in the League Cup and stuff like that, he was a really exciting, powerful, quick striker.
Absolute
handful he was, and he could, and no one could contain him. And he scored a number of goals early on in his career.
Do you think it was the public that did it to him, that took his goals away from him?
No, I don't know. I'm not sure. He was certainly a scapegoat later on in his career. But anyway, the goal I'm going to go for is he was slotted in by, I think...
Hang on. It's for Liverpool.
It was for Liverpool,
yeah. Set the scene.
Sorry, it was for Liverpool.
Where?
It was at Pride Park.
Yep.
And he scored a goal against Derby. And he slotted in by, I want to say Robbie Fowler, but it might not have been.
It was Robbie Fowler.
Okay, right. And he just turned one touch... Pop bang lovely. Roof in the net. Keeper didn't even know it had gone past him. It was one of those sort of goals.
It was an absolute peach.
And,
I think he might have got two that day. I think it was a 3-0 win for Liverpool.
But that
memory
was,
serves me.
That was very much... I mean, he cost a lot of money. He cost Liverpool a lot of money, and I don't think he really hit the heights that they expected him to. But that was definitely a sort of a snippet of what he was certainly capable of.
Yeah.
So for me, I'm going to go for that one.
He did 17 one season, though, didn't he?
Yeah, it's not bad.
He got a lot of Leicester as well.
Yeah.
I seem to remember he had a couple of 20-goal seasons, though.
Yeah.
I might just
big
be plucking
talk.
That out.
Big talk.
That's made up. But.
I'm going to go for the one that really, really sticks in my mind is the Leicester-Newcastle match where I think Alan Shearer scored a hat-trick. Yeah, we were getting beaten and we managed to win 4-3 in the end. And I think Guppy put him through. And you forget... Once he's lost his yard of pace, he became a completely different player, player. And it's a miracle that he's still playing at the highest level, really. But he got put through, and he just had so much power and pace, and just he slid it past.
Well, he could have gone in further. I think he might have hit it from the edge of the box.
He did.
He just drilled it
right into the corner
to make it 3-1, and then Newcastle with a.
But it was all in vain.
A famous comeback.
Yes, excellent comeback. But yeah, just. Some of the goals that he did score, a lot with his head. He could leap as well. He could properly leap.
Yeah.
Oh, I miss old Heskey.
You're not dead.
Jimmy?
Well, my Emil Heskey goal is that I'm going to go for is one with his head. It's one that he scored early 2000s. It was for Liverpool in the Champions League against Roma. He scored a header quite late on. It gave him a 2-0 win that they needed to go through to the quarterfinals. I'm picking that because it was nice to see Big Emil like do something that mattered, you know, actually sort of like, because he gets a lot of stick though, doesn't he? It was nice, you know, it's good to remember that he did have that in his game, and he could actually sort of perform, and he deserved his place at a decent side, you know, and he deserved his place in the England team for
one thing that slightly annoys me is that amongst the less learned football fan, he seems to be the default sort of scapegoat for anything.
Very much as John Barnes was when I was growing up. John Barnes was in the tail end of his career when I was first aware of football. It's so I didn't know at the time that he'd been such a great player.
That's
right. Mate, it's a sort of, I'm not saying they're particularly similar players or anything, but it's a sort of fan who will regularly chastise Dirk Cow. What does he do? He just runs around. He's actually a very important player for Liverpool and for Holland. And the particular system that Capello wanted to play recently, Heskey was so very, very important into that system. I think people should realise that.
You'll always need a link man.
Which isn't to say that Heskey isn't without his massive flaws.
No, of course.
He can't seem to hit a barn door with his
But that's the strange thing about it, though, because if you look at him now, you'd think he just never had that in his game, but he did.
He knew where the corner of the goal was. He could side foot it with power into the corner of the net. It's weird that he's completely. It doesn't seem to be confidence, because he's a mature player who, you know, he would understand that you'll miss one and you'll score one, but he just seems to have completely lost it.
The problem is, I think, that players peak at different ages, and his peak was quite early on. So, like Michael Owen, his peak was very early.
But usually, players peak as in like their pace and their skill and stuff.
I've not hit my peak yet.
But you surely don't lose that sort of ability to spot a bit of a hole. You know, that's what I don't understand.
Well, anyway, I'll give mine, shall I?
Yeah.
I was going to go, and you're right, chaps. You make good points. You know, he was an exciting player. I remember him playing for Leicester, as we all do, and he scored a great goal against Arsenal, where he picked up the ball out wide and drove inside. I think he beat a man or two, and then just hammered it in the bottom corner. It was an absolute beauty. But that's an honourable mention, because the one I'm going to go for, it's got to be mentioned. It's England's fifth to get away to Germany.
Even Heskey scored.
Exactly. 5-1. Even Heskey scored. You know, because it was such a great evening to actually beat Germany. And the fact is that the big man got in on the act as well.
So what you want, Germany? We win when it really matters.
Yeah. You're not talking to any Germany I know.
I remember him scoring a goal against Denmark as well.
Yeah, World Cup 2002. Yeah,
that also made me just go.
Heskey scored.
The keeper might have done better with that one, but it was a good strike. Points need to be dished out. Luke, you're getting them.
Yeah, I know.
I enjoyed that goal very much, though.
Yeah, I did.
Is that the first one of the opening season, or are we waiting to start
the
season?
No, we're still pre-season.
So this won't count in my Championship Manager stats.
You've taken that in a really sort of arrogant Cantonar way, where you've not celebrated at all.
Listeners won't have seen this, but I actually put my collar off and my shirt as well.
He's not wearing a shirt.
That's it. Well, yeah, Heskey has quit international football. 62 appearances and only 7 goals is not brilliant reading for a striker. But
that was maybe
Pete Donaldson there, ladies and gentlemen, with the giggles. But he wasn't the lowest scoring player on Capello's index. That was Rob Green, because the index has been out. Apparently, FCAP. Fabio Capello, he didn't want them online, but he has apologised for rating the players. It's a very odd situation.
I would not pay Capello to advertise my product.
No.
Because he doesn't see the job through like Sven does.
Ramble.
The whole thing is just strange, isn't it? Obviously, this company has set this up, and surely they're just using Capello as the figurehead, right?
They are.
So it's such a naive move from the national team manager. You know, it's only ever going to end poorly if you look at the history of England.
All of it, yeah. Incidentally, his son, Pierre Filippo, who is also his agent, said that Fabio is very sorry and upset that this has happened.
He's got to say dad there, surely. I don't call my dad Ian. It's his name, but he's dad.
No, but
professional or not, Luke.
You're not his agent.
It's weird.
Well, my mum was one of the managers at a supermarket that I used to work at, and I wasn't allowed to call her mum when I was working there.
Oh, yeah.
So,
don't like it.
A lesson for you all.
It's hardly like the classic story of a headmaster and his son, really, is it?
Yeah, exactly.
Working in the same supermarket.
No, I couldn't call her mum. Wasn't allowed.
Okay, back to Capello, probably best.
So he's probably being professional.
England's highest scoring midfielder
would have been SWP.
It was Sean Wright Phillips.
Yeah.
What is...
How? What is the index? I mean...
I don't know. I really don't know. Jermaine Defoe was the overall highest point scorer, maybe because he scored a winning goal. But, it's an odd one, isn't it? I mean, OK, so you have this index, but, I mean, what is Capello thinking if SWP's the highest scorer?
I've just got my head around the FIFA fantasy football game. That was confusing. You got points for going in the box, I think. Which I couldn't figure out.
The keeper must rack up loads.
Yeah.
James, help me.
Well, I'd love to. It just seems like a baffling idea. I know part of the thinking behind it is, or part of the guff on the website, from what I've had a look at when it's been up there, because it's been taken down and put back up.
How did you rate it?
I'm not on there.
Okay.
Weirdly. It's a Scottish surname. It probably doesn't recognise it. Scotland. But yeah, part of the gaff on the website says that, you know, the man in the street who loves his football doesn't have access to these sort of stats, and part of the point of it was putting it out there and making it available. So if you did want to have a look at these sort of things...
But they've already got the Opta Index.
Yeah, but is the Opta Index up there and is accessible?
Well, you can look at it through, like, lots of different outlets, like Sky Sports and stuff like that.
I think it's meant to be more direct than that, though. So I think that is a good idea. I think it's just... It's an absolute PR disaster, though, isn't it? I think, like, had it been sort of brought out in any other way... We'd be saying, yeah, that's a really good idea. I mean, Forlan came out on top as well, so there's obviously something in it. Obviously,
Emma Heskey quit international football. He's so outraged. I've not been a part of this index anymore. That is it.
Well, the index will remain a mystery then.
Yeah.
But now, for all those who thought the World Cup was a disaster for England, well, think again.
Yeah.
We've risen a place in the FIFA rankings.
Hey, but is that linked to Heskey quitting international football?
that'll show the World Cup, won't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, it proves what an edgy win over a country of only 2 million people can do for you. I mean, we've moved from 8th to 7th. Edging closer to Spain.
There are more people in London than that.
Yeah, a lot more people in London.
Probably take the women out, there's still more people.
There
in
are
London.
More people in the township of Soweto.
I think that's actually true, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Yeah.
I think that one thing I'm not sure if people know, but it's not really well publicised, but there's another ranking system called the ELO ranking. Which is actually
it's a living thing.
The electric lottery, unfortunately.
Good.
That actually seems to be much more accurate.
ELOL.
Because the FIFA rankings are just like, right, it's always Brazil number one.
Yeah.
And then, well, yeah, Spain have got to win a European Championship and a World Cup. All right.
Yeah.
Go on then.
Fine.
We'll give you 2 months.
I'll get the eraser out.
Yeah. I don't think anyone worth their salt really looks too much into these things, do they?
How dare you. Bloody
Mexico are always up there, aren't they? Mexico are always up there.
Mexico and USA are up there because they play a lot of Central American teams that just haven't got hope of beating them. So I think it's if you beat Brazil, isn't it the same as beating El Salvador or whatever?
It's done on the amount of goals you win by and the importance of the game and stuff.
Right,
and
okay.
That sort of stuff.
Well, that's careful. That's big Jackie Warner's territory. You're slagging off.
Well, I'll fuck you, Jack. There you go.
Spicy.
Strong words from the edgy James.
From behind the microphone.
Yeah. I could take him. He's in his 60s.
possibly. Maradona was piping up, wasn't he, during the World Cup, saying, European teams only have to beat Andorra to qualify or something.
Not true.
Amongst others.
Yeah.
Literally not true.
Yeah.
Well, since the World Cup has finished, there's a lot of talk on who's new fresh blood in the England side, all that kind of chat.
We've sort of got no players, though, have we?
Yeah.
Well,
you look around and then you're like,
a certain man has come out and said he's as good as any midfielder in the country and he wants to play for England again.
Joey Barton. You got to the point where, like, journalists were sort of looking through young players and they were only just stopping short of sort of going down their local park and going, Yeah, he's only 12, but I'll tell you what, he's got all the material he needs.
Joey Barton.
There was like a team put together, wasn't there? Like a future England team put together by some of the tabloids, like Joe Hart in goal and Wayne Rooney up front. Other than that, it was massive, massive punts on every single player in the side.
Yeah. Would you like to see Joey Barton? He's only got one cap.
Well, the thing with
he's not played. He's not played football.
He should concentrate on playing football.
Maybe playing football for that championship team that he's played for last season.
Well, he's claimed that he's a better player since joining Newcastle. I don't know how he's managed to work this out. Probably dreams he's had.
In the same way that I'm a better, I don't know, FIFA player once I've given the game away or something to a friend. Yeah.
But the thing with Barton is that at his peak, and I know he's not the player he once was, and he's had a lot of injury problems and disciplinary problems, but it shows you that the difference between a really high-class player and a average player is not always a matter of ability. It's a matter of how you apply the talent you've been given and the drive and ambition you've got and how hard you work. Because Joey Barton, for my money, I mean, when he's a bit of a laughing stock now. He was a good player
at City.
Bear in mind, he's only 27 now.
Well, exactly. But the thing is, what I'm trying to say is, he's not. He may be not
years
the player
ahead of
now.
Him, James.
He may well be good enough, but he'll never apply that talent successfully. So he should just keep his mouth shut.
I don't know. To be fair to Barton, though, what he is saying is that. The reason he's saying that is because he thinks every player in the country should think they're good enough to play for England, and they should be sort of looking at, especially a performance like England's in the World Cup, and thinking, yeah, I can get in that team and I can do something. And I think fair play to Barton, you know.
After that performance at the World Cup, to be fair, I'm looking around the room. I'd put you in there, Marcus, to be honest.
Thank you very much. You looked at me.
I did look at you.
That's what I'm ordered.
I thought I'd use you
for
height.
Mental.
Yeah, that's true. The thing is that. I don't think that Barton's. It's one of those things, isn't it? That when Barton says it, it's a story.
Of course.
But you're not going to get to a professional football level without backing yourself, are you? No. So it's just a matter of how it's twisted and how it's put around.
Well, Fabio Cannavaro.
He's piping up.
His career has been terminated.
Well,
clearly, it's been
resurrected. He fell in molten metal and died.
He reckons that Fabio Capello will axe John Terry for speaking out of turn at the World Cup. He said that's the way Capello operates, you know.
Well.
And then didn't he say that England are amongst the favourites for Euro 2?
He said they were the favourites. Yeah. So his mind has been terminated in some way or another. I don't think he's got the personnel in there to sort of get rid of Terry, though, is he? I think there's a lot of knee-jerk reaction after any World Cup where England fail. I've got to get rid of everybody. Yeah. Bring in these kids down the park like you're talking about. But he's not going to stop playing John Terry.
The trouble with John Terry is he's not getting any younger or quicker. No. And he was
not the only trouble with Terry.
But I mean, you look at sort of like Puyol and I don't know players like that. You sort of think, well, they're sort of older players, but they've still got a bit of leg in them. You know,
Sol Campbell.
The thing is,
I've beaten that drum to death. I think
Marcus and I were talking about this on the way here, actually, and the problem is in this country is that if you make 20 slide tackles a game as a defender, everyone seems to think you're a brilliant defender.
Yeah.
When in actual fact, if you have to make a slide tackle, it's a last resort. If you're clever enough and good enough and shrewd enough to read the game well enough, you won't have to make those tackles. That's the problem with Terry.
That's always been a hallmark of his game, though, isn't it, Terry? He has had a genuinely good ability to read the game, and it seems to be the pace deserting him that's kind of forcing him to have to catch up with himself almost and put his face in where his foot would do before.
Well, see, again, on a slightly serious note, you see, someone like John Terry, if he is losing his pace, like we say, the Premier League's not the place to be. Why not go to, you know, the Serie A or something?
Chelsea, innit?
Look at the teams that were actually like Capdevila, Van Bronckhorst. Van Bronckhorst, 36. He doesn't.
I mean, he's retired now, but yeah, I know you.
Yeah, but I mean, like, he's still putting a couple of performances.
He's got the World Cup final.
Exactly. Well, I just don't understand why it's.
Certain players can go on a bit longer, though, can't they? And certain players just. I mean, look at Thierry Henry. He's 32 years old. He's gone to America, and that's by no means sort of saying that's the end of his career.
He was bit part last year as well.
Well, exactly. Yeah.
But players not playing in England. I think sometimes maybe once you get to about 29, you should be thinking about leaving England because it's a quick league. You know what I mean? Maybe have a think, and you can work on your positional play and things like that and sort of playing the game in a very different way, maybe.
Are you suggesting that the Premier League should maybe be sponsored by Club 18 to 30?
Yeah, definitely.
The John Terry point when it comes to international football is a serious one, though, because Capello is presumably running the England team because he wants to win something.
Yeah.
That would be my...
You'd hope so.
Yeah, so there you go. So what is the benefit of playing John Terry now for England? If in 2 years' time he's going to be, 31, 32, however old he is now, he's about my age, I think about 29. What's the reason to play him? Right, you've had your chance, pal. Let's take 2 years to bet another player in.
Mm. But if that player's not there then, if that player isn't there, you can't force somebody to
I'd rather Ryan Shawcross and Michael Dawson played every game between now and the Euros.
Really?
That's a big shout.
But what's the point of playing Terry? That's what I'm asking you, that question. What's the point of playing?
I think if
you've all just sat on this table, so he's lost his pace, he's not the player he once was.
I'm inquiring.
What is the point of playing?
It doesn't mean that there's better coming through to replace him, though, does it? He still may, in two years' time, he still may be a better option than what's there.
But it's a paradox because you don't know until you play them.
We shall wait and see.
What I'm saying is you don't know whether Ryan Shawcross and Michael Dawson.
No, but you can judge them from the league.
It's different,
gentlemen. We're trying to predict things here, and we should leave the predictions to Paul the Octopus.
All right,
and I've got an update on Paul the Octopus.
What a link! What a link!
Don't say it's a link. Then it's organic.
Okay.
In many ways.
Yeah. Stop boxing me.
Sorry.
Paul the Octopus. Now, if I was to tell you that a zoo was trying to poach him, was trying to buy him, was trying to get him in. Where?
Is he out of contract?
Which city in Europe would you reckon that is?
In Europe.
Would it be Spain, Marcus?
Yes, it is Spain. It's Madrid Zoo.
Yeah. Oh, my God. tapping up octopuses.
Yeah. Octopi.
I think that's actually wrong.
Is it? Okay, octopuses is fine.
So, yeah, Madrid, the thing is, though, Paul the Octopus is 2.5 years old, I think.
What's the lifespan for
an octopus?
3. Is it?
No, you see, again, they're like the old...
They do. It's like when Van Nistelrooy went there.
Exactly. Let him retire.
So we're not, is the zoo linked to the football club here?
So we're not talking outrageous. Like Lionel Messi sort of coming to Spain and getting pumped full of...
Maybe they will pump him full of growth hormones.
Growth hormones.
See if it helps.
I have to say, I saw this story on Sky Sports News. Now, we laughed, you know, when people would make a big thing about Howard Webb being an Englishman and so on. I kid you not, on Sky Sports News, they actually referred to him as English-born Paul the Octopus.
I beg to differ that English-born was actually born on land. That's what I said. Yeah. And that's not England for me.
If we are trying to claim...
Pompey General.
Bloody sea creature. Has it really... This is a load that I'd never thought.
Paul the Octopus hasn't won anything himself.
No.
Like, he's just been pointing out other people.
Why has Sky Sports News reporting this as a story anyway? It's not even a news story.
Because 24 hours is a lot of news.
Exactly, yeah. Dear, oh dear.
Indeed.
So basically, the two best performing English things in the World Cup this summer...
you might say.
...was a referee and an octopus.
I'd like to see Howard Webb with Paul the Octopus on his head like a hair.
Now I'd like
sort of combing it into a fringe.
Yeah. I'd like to see Howard Webb predict games, isn't it? Yeah, Octopus referee.
Definitely.
Or at the same time.
Yeah.
He'd be like Graham Pohl with all his yellow cards.
Oh, yeah, good one.
Yeah, clever.
Because he's got eight arms.
Zero. Wit. While we're on the subject of the World Cup, I think we were just about. Yeah. It's over. It's a shame, isn't it? A bit of a come down.
Yes.
There's been a few things coming out about FIFA.
Yeah.
They've made lots of money, Peter, haven't they?
Well, that's what they're in the business of.
Yeah.
Is it?
£2 billion tax-free, I think.
Right.
Bring me money. Yeah. Wave your wad.
Yeah.
That's absolutely. I mean, the thing about it is you have to agree to FIFA's draconian tax rules before you can even be considered to host.
And you are right in describing them as that. You really are.
How is it legal?
I don't know.
It's absolutely incredible.
I did like the fact that the Johannesburg Gi radio, that's probably how you say it.
Oh, the radio station!
The radio really hated Sepp Blatter for some reason. They were sort of saying, if you miss our dear departed leader, Sepp Blatter.
really? That radio station was absolutely crazy. Though,
yeah, people doing like a 6-hour radio shift.
Yeah, and there'd be like minutes of like stand up that just sort of bought in from somewhere. That'd be a little bit racist. Yeah. It's just at, like 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah, because racism's fine after the watershed.
Yeah. Mandela's going, of all I've done for this place.
Yeah, exactly.
FIFA have made a lot of money. They really, and I sort of have to saturate this next sentence with the word allegedly, but they really are allegedly a very, very corrupt, allegedly bunch of people, allegedly.
Well, what is corrupt, really? I mean, like the idea of making money off the back of a fairly poor country with a football competition, that's not strictly corrupt, but ethically it's a bit...
Yeah, one man's allegedly. Corruption is another man's nice dinner. Isn't it, eh?
Allegedly. But maybe we're being a bit harsh because Blatter was presented with the order of the Companions of Oliver Reginald Tambo, which is an award in South Africa.
I'd love to hear him explain to me what that is.
Oliver Reginald Tambo is a very important figure in the apartheid movement. So important that the Johannesburg Airport's named after him.
Yes.
Good knowledge, Luke Moore.
I've just been there.
There's
a stamp in the passport.
Attention. Yeah, exactly.
You didn't even read your own passport.
There's
OR at Tambo Airport.
It's granted by the President of South Africa to foreign citizens who have promoted South African interests and aspirations through cooperation, solidarity and support.
Jonathan Pearce called for Blatter to be given the Nobel Peace Prize for taking the World Cup to South Africa, didn't he, as well, during one of the games.
Really?
Like, what?
However, there was a bit of a boo-boo from an administrator of the South African presidency's website I think he got this from Wikipedia. He obviously went on Blatter's Wikipedia page to get his full name. And someone quite wonderfully made a little Wikipedia prank, and they renamed Sepp Blatter as Joseph Sepp Belen Blatter.
They're taking their facts from Wikipedia for something so important.
Well,
yeah.
We would never do that.
So yes, yeah, so he was the title Belen was in there quite beautifully.
Title.
Am I the only one?
Well, it is with Sepp.
Am I the only one saying quite a lot of schadenfreude about that? I'm very pleased with that.
Yeah, oh, it's wonderful work. But according to some papers, when asked to comment on the story, a FIFA spokesperson said at the Swiss headquarters that he needed to communicate the meaning of the word internally first. I think you'll find it's an accurate description.
Imagine being a FIFA spokesman.
It'd be awful.
Just imagine it. But at the same time, it'd be brilliant.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what it'd be like. It'd be like being an Oompa Loompa in the Chinese chocolate factory. Just, it's mental.
Yeah, just all the time. And you just adjust to it.
Yeah, but you've got a lot of work to do.
Yeah, yeah,
I bet
yeah.
They've got whips as well. Just wandering around being horrible to everybody.
I sort of I'm with Blatter on this one, because one of you a lot changed my date of birth to mean that I was 37, which to a casual observer, I could be 37. If you'd said 60, fine.
Also said that you were Peter Beardsley's brother, didn't you?
That's correct, yes.
And that you invented Doritos.
Yeah, I didn't see those two coming, to be honest.
The moral of this story is that Wikipedia is not very reliable.
Yeah, no. Right.
Well, apparently, it's got quite a good description of Sepp Blatter.
It's a great joke.
I think it's just coming to its own, actually.
It's a great joke. Yeah.
We got an email, actually, from Graham in Edinburgh, who quite magnificently pointed out a number of other Sepp's other honours.
These are the things he's been awarded in his professional life.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. The list is monumentally big. Like, it is ridiculous. And very high awards and accolades and titles given by so many countries around the world. It is ridiculous. But just to kind of zip through a few of them, he got a knighthood from the Sultanate of Penang. He's the captain of the United Newcastle Travellers.
Pete?
Wow.
Do you want to come in on that?
Is that definitely Newcastle of the Northeast of England?
I just thought I'd come to you.
Did you vote for him?
The recipient.
He probably ran on
unopposed. He's the NSU.
He's a recipient of the Award of Merit from Yemen.
Yeah.
Knight of the French Legion of Honour. Knight of the French Legion of Honour.
Somebody sound like Star Wars.
That makes him sound like a Templar.
Honorary member of Real Madrid. I mean, we probably worked that out.
Yeah, so, no problem.
Crown of Peace award he got in India.
Fizz Fathead.
Honorary Doctor of Arts, De Montfort University, Leicester.
That's my university. Well, I haven't even got a degree for them.
Well.
Yeah. I haven't even got a degree for them lot. I didn't pay my library fees.
He got the award, Japan's Grand Cordon of the Order of the Rising Sun.
That's...
I'd
equally
love that.
Terrifying.
I'd love that.
He got
that makes it sound like he can just have a samurai on him on his.
I'd love that. That'd be the one I'd choose if I could have one of them.
Or would you choose the Liberian Humane Order of African Redemption?
I'm steering clear of Liberia.
George
Weah. I'll defer to him.
I mean, I really could go on.
That's not all of them either, is it?
No,
by a long stretch.
That is, and I kid you not, that is about a 12th.
Good fraction.
Just seems like he's one of those people that's just never going to go away. Even when he dies, it'll be like, you know how Kim Jong-il isn't the proper leader of North Korea. He's some emperor before him.
No, he's his dad.
His dad.
Right.
He's
the
behalf.
Official god.
It's just going to stay on forever, like when Screaming Lord Such left the Monster Raven Looney Party to his cat.
Yeah. It's still going. Graham in Edinburgh did finish up by saying apparently that he's also available for weddings and bar mitzvahs.
The thing I heard from someone based over in South America is that Ricardo Teixeira is looking to take over after Blatter, because Blatter's stepping down soon.
Oh, he's the Argentinian guy.
No, he's Brazilian.
Oh, the Brazilian. Who's the Argentinian guy? Who's really Larry.
That's Grondona, isn't it?
Yeah.
Diego Maradona.
Let's get him in. Get Diego in.
Yeah. Surprisingly, Teixeira's just as bad as Blatter, so you've got more to look forward to.
Well,
but
exactly.
The plus point being it won't be Jack Warner.
Yeah.
Yeah, why isn't he stepping up into his...
Where has he been?
Well, I think
is he just too corrupt for the actual the big seat?
FIFA made $2 billion.
Yeah.
I mean, that
Jack's counting it.
Yeah.
He'll be gone for a while.
Well,
one for them, one for me.
Apparently it was just $1 billion.
Maybe
he's trying to placate Robbie Earl.
Yeah, he probably...
You told me these tickets were fine.
Yeah.
Shut up, you piece of trash.
Jack Warner's like a corrupt American cop on a drugs bust. No, there was only $98,000 there.
Oh dear, oh dear. Well, you mentioned Brazil, Luke. Of course, the next World Cup is in Brazil. Now, they're worried that they're not going to be ready for it, aren't they?
Well, I don't know how you can say that, given it's 4 years away. I mean, lots can happen.
Well, I mean,
the same thing happened with South Africa, the same thing's happening with Ukraine now, isn't it?
Yeah. So.
But apparently they're sort of saying that there's a problem because the mayor's away or something.
The only time I've ever heard it being a problem is when Colombia had to hand over to Mexico in 86. I mean, it's Colombia.
Yeah.
You know, it's understandable.
Yeah, that's
but aren't they using some of the stadiums they're not using for whatever reason?
Yeah,
because of
confusing.
Some agreement
they've got to build new ones, I think.
There's always problems with
stadia.
Well, what happens to the stadia? I believe we've got an email about this.
We do. Ramblefalls. Had that before. On your recent podcast, you posed the question, what will happen to the World Cup stadiums following the World Cup? Well, I lived in Seoul, South Korea, between 2007 and 2009 before moving to England. I was able to experience the O2 World Cup stadiums that Korea had built.
Right.
There were 10 stadiums built for the tournament and all are currently used by teams in the 15-team K-League. I was a season ticket holder for FC Seoul, which only cost me £45.
Ooh.
During that time, they drew around 6,000 to 10,000 spectators who seemed to know little about football and applauded the simplest of things. This was to home matches at a 68,000-seat stadium. Keep in mind, Seoul has 19 million people in the city and suburban areas.
Ooh.
It's literally crammed with people living on top of one another. During my time there, I visited several of the cities that hosted games for the 2002 World Cup. In all of them, the stadiums are massive white elephants that cannot draw enough to warrant having the large stadiums. In several cities, they were trying to redevelop the stadiums to be more fan-friendly. Seoul Stadium had a massive Western-style mall and cinema built as part of the stadium. You can also get married there if you're inclined.
Sounds quality. Yeah. It's a shame for a city for 19 million people.
It's incredible, isn't it? So despite these stadiums being practically useless now, the World Cup had an enormous effect on Korea. It was a country that cut itself off from the Western world after the Korean War. Not like North Korea, but still a country very much set in its ways. South Korea has now opened up to the Western world, and that can be seen most notably in the amount of foreign English teachers that they hire and the amount of money spent on English language lessons. But despite this huge impact of the economy, the football clubs of the country are burdened with these stadia that are too big to maintain and unable to fill with supporters. On a side note to this, keep in mind that Athens, Greece, had stadiums from the 2004 Olympics that are unused and are said to be in disrepair already. This was only 6 years ago as well.
But in Athens, it was straight after, I remember, they were going, oh, bloody hell, what are we going to do with this?
The Bird's Nest in Beijing, China, had rarely held an event since the 2008 Olympics. The only significant event was the 2009 Supercoppa Italia, which I wasn't aware
they did.
Even a Beijing-based soccer club backed out of playing there because they could only attract around 10,000 per game. The stadium holds 80,000. This is a stadium that has no tenants and rarely sees events at a cost of $9 million US to maintain a year. That is truly incredible, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is great that the tournament went to South Africa, but the people who got rich were the already rich mega conglomerates in the USA and Europe. No South African who is poor became rich, and the World Cup will only be a memory, one that will have faded from memory in 4 years when Brazil will host the next competition. South Africa should have spent more of that money on the poor. I believe 79% of people live in poverty. That could have done wonders for them. They could have done so much for the infrastructure of the country. Sorry for the long email, Drew Farmer. It is worth pointing out that a lot of that money wouldn't be there if the World Cup wasn't there.
And I guess there isn't that many stadiums kicking around that they could just sort of... They needed to build stadiums, I presume.
But a country like South Korea is developed.
I'm sure
it's the same in Japan. They can handle those debts. They can handle having those big stadiums, and maybe one day something will come along to fill them. But South Africa is a completely different.
Well, look at Brazil. I can't imagine them. They're getting saddled with that sort of.
Brazil is a massive economy, though. Brazil is a massive emerging economy. The problem with South Africa is, I'm hugely in favour of such an amazing event touching so many people, which it genuinely did.
We went there
and saw it for ourselves. Every single person there was. It's just a shame that it's got to cost that country so much money to do it, and at the same time FIFA take all the money out of it.
Yeah. And everything being tax free.
Soccer City won't be being used. It's far too big. It's in the middle of nowhere. And FIFA...
Soccer City, there was a stadium there before it was built.
Not of that size, though.
Not of that size, no.
But anyway, the crux of the matter is FIFA are riding off on their horses into the sunset with £2 billion quid in their pocket and everyone else is left to clear up the mess. I mean, and I don't understand why, at the very least, they can't pay tax on it, which will help the South African government a little bit more.
I thought it was quite unfair as well that I think it was a kilometre around the radius of the stadium you could only sell FIFA branded stuff.
There's all sorts of talk.
So there was a lot of things.
There's stories of like a restaurateur just putting a football with the word 2010 written on it and putting it in his window, like him getting fined £4,000 or something for that.
There was talk of a hotel being hauled through the FIFA court for having a chalkboard with World Cup 2010 written on it. Welcomes everyone to the World Cup or something.
Why does it has to be the FIFA World Cup TM?
Well, I think that's the I don't remember it being quite so sort of badged up as FIFA. And I wasn't aware that FIFA were playing any football, to be honest.
See, I worry that that FIFA court is just going to stay there forever now, yeah. And that every country the World Cup comes to is just going to be sort of like forever ruled by FIFA. It's just a plan by Blatter to take over.
I mean, we made a jest, but I mean, I think that's what the what certain sort of areas of the court, the law courts in South Africa, were talking about. They're sort of saying, well, it's been very crime free, this whole thing, but it's like, well, you can't really sustain that level of policing for any length of time. But they did have sort of different deals with courts and stuff, where they have smaller courts. They'd suspend certain sort of, I wouldn't even say privileges, just human rights. You know what I mean? It's a murky world that you get into when you start suspending law, habeas corpus.
An organising body of a particular event for the summer cannot supersede the law of the land. That's absolutely ridiculous.
But it was grossly unfair for the rule that I said about the a kilometre around the stadium. That it could only be FIFA vendors, if you like, because a lot of the local population would get a lot of business through that.
And they were, but they were just miles away.
They were farmed away. It's terrible. That's really unfair, that.
Speaking of which, I've got a bit of a World Cup email.
Okay.
If you want.
Let's lighten the mood.
Let's wind down the World Cup stuff, but I think Pete will enjoy this one. Round of applause, Hall. Hi, guys. I hope you enjoyed your time in South Africa.
Rubbish.
I'm currently back home in the midst of a massive World Cup come down.
Oh.
I hope the ramble will cheer you up.
World Cup come down.
Anyway, he says, I was lucky enough to be in South Africa, and like England, I returned home after the last 16. So to cheer myself up, I thought I'd send you an email on my favourite moments. At the England Germany game in Bloemfontein, I was located in a stand predominantly occupied by Germans. I was, however, sat next to the four St. Pauli fans.
FC St. Pauli.
Exactly. One of them was wearing a chicken hat. They were all massive fun and brought beers throughout the game. Furthermore, to back up your point about Germans being good winners, the St. Pauli fans gave us a hug of consolidation at the final whistle.
They will do.
Consolation, perhaps.
But that was not his favourite moment. His favourite moment was, Pete, at the Ghana-USA game in Russia. He spotted the pot man.
Lovely.
During extra time, after Ghana scored, the pot man attempted to dance his way round from one group of Ghana fans to another, and he came past where I was standing. I stuck out a hand in hope. Bam! High five from the Ghana fans.
Wow. Yes. That is a collector's item, that is.
Keep up the fine work, gentlemen. Much love, Chris Chapman.
I can imagine his hands being burnt and have welts on them. He spill his pot on it.
High five in the pot man.
Can anyone do better than that?
No. We were speaking to a couple of guys in South Africa, and they were talking about the pot man. He's quite the man. He's quite the famous pot man.
We had that
talking about him, didn't we? How he got his new pot made by the governor of Algeria or something.
Angola, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was it. Angola.
Yeah. Why?
Something to do with the African nations, wasn't it?
Yeah. It got broken like a scuffle. And then
Right. Sorry, of course. Yeah.
You were there.
Yeah, I know. I'm just waking up. Right, well, just before we finish talking about the World Cup or international football, we're done with the World Cup. Zlatan Ibrahimovic says he's going to return to international football with Sweden. How big of him?
Nice of him, yeah.
Amazing.
I saw this headline.
He's got motivation again, isn't he?
Yeah, I saw this headline and I was like, what, you mean to say you quit international football, you flipping diva?
Yeah.
And apparently he's been offered this captaincy is now being shared.
But I think the reason he quit is because of Lars Lagerbäck, and he's gone now, so he's happy
to
come
back.
Well,
didn't he say that he wasn't going to play for Sweden like after they didn't qualify for the World Cup? Because I think literally his words were, there's no motivation.
Yeah. He said that I've now found the motivation.
I don't think he ever quit, like, full-time. He
just
couldn't be bothered.
It's definitely something to do with Lagerbäck, though. It's definitely something to do with the coach, who's now moved
on. I will never play for Nigeria.
That's right. Let's talk a little bit about domestic football.
Yep.
Joe Cole's gone to Liverpool, Pete.
Uh-oh. Look out, people who handle large wage bills at Liverpool. Yeah? Yeah? Well, I got there in the end.
Yeah, I don't know where that is, but...
He's on a lot of money, there. Marcus.
90 grand a week, I think.
For but 4 years.
No transfer fee, though.
No transfer
but
fee.
But there will be a signing-on fee.
There will be a signing-on fee.
But still repeating what he says.
Great move for Liverpool, I think.
I think it's a great move around.
A lot of people are sort of saying, well, it's not really worth it. He's only 28, you know. Clearly a good player.
I'm sort of thinking, will he definitely get his game? I forget that Roy Hodgson's in charge. And he plays decent players.
Yeah, that's it.
It's got to be refreshing, is it? No mental substitutions.
It's got to be really exciting. signing for Liverpool fans.
Yeah.
Well, part of me hopes that the reason he went to Liverpool is because he's got a chance to sort of really get them back up to where they probably should be. Mm. But I think he got offered 90 grand a week for 4 years, which is much better than what Arsenal and Spurs offered him. Yeah. So he's probably thinking, it's my last big contract, I need to do the best I can for the family. I understand all that. But I genuinely think he'll play as much as he can at Liverpool. I don't think Hodgson will rest him too much. Mm. The only slight problem is that I think he only made 28 starts over the last two seasons. So he's had a lot of injury problems.
Yeah.
Hopefully he can stay fit. Because I'll tell you, I'm a massive fan of Joe Coles. Yeah. And I think it's one of the most annoying things about English football for me is that we only produce a player like Joe Cole every 20 years or so.
Yeah, almost by like fluke.
Yeah, you know, absolutely. In spite of his system and not because of it.
Well, it would appear now we do. I mean, in the past we had much more ball playing players, but maybe that's why Liverpool swooped for him, James.
Mm, it's good that they did swoop.
I hope they literally did swoop. Like he was walking out of like, his house and they just swooped down and picked him up. We're having you.
Yeah. Oh, no, help me!
Oh, you're going to pay me that much?
Yeah. Right.
I think it's a good move for Joe Cole, and I think that he needs to be one of the main men in the team, because I've had enough of him at Chelsea, as clearly as everybody has, all concerned. But just the fact that Chelsea, he was just another player.
Yeah.
There was a lot of other good players in there, but he was often farmed out on the wide, or he was played in this position, that position, off the bench.
I do think that's the strength of Joe Coles, though, that you can put him in a lot of different positions and it will look like his natural position. There's a lot of talk that, you know, Gerrard is obviously going to occupy the space where Joe Cole would probably thrive the most. But I don't think that's necessarily the case. I thought Coles are always impressed me when he's played out on the left.
Ball playing players can usually kind of change positions.
He can beat
easily.
A man as well, though.
Yeah.
The thing is that depending on what formation Hodgson chooses to play, which will depend on the personnel he's got by the end of the transfer window, that sort of stuff, it's a chance he could be pushed out wide still.
I don't think
he's necessarily going to play through the middle. I don't understand. Because if he plays the formation they normally play, it'll be Torres right up top with three behind, which will be Kout, Gerrard, and Cole, won't it? And Gerrard will be in the middle, so I don't understand. Maybe he will be farmed that wide. He's probably been given assurances that if he stays fit, he can play, and he's probably gone to Liverpool because he's got a longer contract, which is absolutely fine.
That is a decent front four, really.
Aquilani's going to be like a new signing, really, because he showed real promise to the end of last season when he was finally got himself fit. No, so
it's an odd one, isn't it, how Ben Ayoun's gone one way and Joe Cole's gone the other.
Well, another people have been touting, we'll take that swap, Ben Ayoun for Cole. Ben Ayoun's not been without injuries.
He's 30.
He's older.
Ben Ayoun's been a good player for Liverpool.
I think he's a good player.
Crazy.
Is, yeah.
I don't know why they let him go.
Yeah.
The problem with Aquilani, though, just pick up on your point, is I've said this before, I genuinely don't know how good he is because I've never seen him play long enough.
Oh, he's a player.
Oh, he's a good player, but he's never played more than about 15 games a season, so it's impossible to say how good he is.
Well, you get a good half a season out of
him. Yeah.
Look on the bright side.
It's not half a season these days, Marcus. That's a quarter of a season, pal.
Well, okay. We take what we can get.
Especially in the Europa League.
It's a quarter of a season in the Europa League.
Thierry Henry's gone to the New York Red Bull?
Stateside.
Yeah. Off he goes.
Does anyone else see the parallels between it used to be old superstars used to come to the Premier League, now they're going to the MLS?
Yeah, we've kind of, they've stolen our gig.
Yeah, they are.
It's interesting though, because there's a designated player rule, isn't there? And I think I'm right in saying that New York Red Bulls are one of only sort of three or four clubs that have actually got two of them. And I don't know how many you can have. I think maybe there's a limit, you can have three or something like that. But it's good. I think it's
Angel still playing.
Angel plays at New York Red Bulls.
They're going to be playing together.
Yeah,
they're second in the Eastern sort of league.
Are they?
But they haven't won anything for a while. But they've never won the league. But they did win the Walt Disney World Pro Soccer Classic last year.
Did they really?
On penalties.
Ladies and gentlemen, there is a wonderful piece of research.
And
Kate's
research.
That was the clincher for Thierry.
And that's a clincher for Pete getting a 1 year extension.
No one's saying it's a Mickey Mouse League now, are
they?
Boom.
Very good joke.
It was a cup.
Sorry, did someone say banter?
I think they already have.
Sound the banter alarm. Sound the research alarm.
sound the bantometer.
Stop this.
Sorry.
Okay. Michael Ballack. Oh, sorry.
So I just want to sort of say I really do think it's a good move for Henry, because I do think he's probably got more to offer than just a bit part at Barcelona. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It is good that these players are going out there. To see the league get stronger there.
Do you know what I'd love to see more than that? If it was me, that's all very simple, as you say, look, hiding behind a microphone, but I'd love to have gone somewhere like Boca.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be better? That. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. But they haven't got any money, Bocker. That's the problem.
If you just turn up and play, Raquel May does. They're not going to say no.
No, I understand what you're saying.
Shelbourne, someone like that.
Or Pompey. Yeah. He loves Pompey, Henri. Henri's also saying when he moved there, he sort of
not top flight.
Added to that by saying that he wants to go back to Arsenal as a coach, didn't he? Yeah. He's going to end up there sooner or later.
Yes,
said.
Please.
Michael Ballack's gone to Leverkusen.
Back to where he started.
Yeah,
it's nice.
Pretty much.
I like it when players do that.
He started at Kaiserslautern, didn't he? But he broke through at Leverkusen. Right. Ballack. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. David Silva.
Bridesmaid.
David Silva's got to Man City.
Did you ever go on Talksport? Did anyone see this?
What's
or
this?
Hear it? Well, he got put around the internet. Basically,
about Yaya Toure.
Yeah.
Well, and Silva. There's a couple of
that was genuinely like for a man on radio, not even to bluff his way, just proudly sort of saying I'm an idiot.
Yeah, well, what happened was that for those who didn't hear it, basically a Man City fan rang in response to the two presenters, one of which is a football journalist. I can't remember his surname, but he's called Steve something, and he was basically saying that our Man City fans disappointed because Manchester City aren't buying so-called, in his words, big names, like superstar signings. And he listed David Silva and Yaya Toure as not big signings because you wouldn't recognise them in the bus stop.
Bloody hell. Right?
And then he went out and said...
Is he comparing them to Robinho in that he's the only footballer they can think of that gets the bus?
But what he said was, James, is that he said that he'd never heard of Yaya Toure till the World Cup.
What?
Even though he won two Champions League medals. And he also said he's not world-class, and he's certainly not world-class like someone like Frank Lampard is. Oh. That's what I promise you. That actually happened. Yeah. On the radio.
There are other Torres. If you know of one, you know of the
exactly,
other one. Presumably,
yeah. Oh, it's double Champions League winner.
But I mean, is it double? Is it?
Yeah, he's won twice. Well, they've won two, haven't they?
Don't you start?
Who?
But even
let's talk about the Premier.
Even if you don't know about other leagues, Yaya Toure has been linked with a move to the Premier League since he was about 19.
And the other thing is a great moment because the guy then said to the caller, oh yeah, but you only know who he is because you've heard Man City are trying to sign him and you checked it on Wikipedia. And they go, no, I actually like football.
But that is absolutely scandalous, isn't it? David Silva as well, he won Euro 2008. He was a huge part of that side.
The problem, the danger with it is that TalkSport make a living basically out of winding people up, so he could have been given the brief to do that. And if he has been given the brief to do that, he's a terrible broadcaster. But at the same time, it was just awful to hear. It was really cringeworthy. Even if he was taking the piss, it was awful.
Oh dear.
But anyway, yeah, so you were going to say Silva to City, which I think is a great signing because he's versatile going forward. Silva.
James, you're a fan of David Silva.
I really, really like
think
David
most people.
He's a lot younger
be.
Than I thought he was as well. So
and he's got about 50 caps or something.
Is it 20, 24?
Something like that. A lot of people are saying, oh, it's no ambition. But he's obviously recognised that City are going places, which they undeniably are. Jerome Boateng's gone there as well.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, Adebayor and Tevez are two top strikers there. If those two can form a bit of a partnership, I don't know if they even need to get Dzeko, which they're talking about as well.
Would you call Adebayor top striker?
When he wants it, he is.
Well, McLaren's piping up saying that Dzeko's staying,
right,
and he's not going anywhere. So, I mean,
but I'm sure they'll turn their attentions elsewhere. If City are in the market for a striker, they'll end up with one, I'm sure.
And Tevez had such a good World Cup.
Yeah,
and we talk about Silva. The thing with Silva is that I like is his step overs and his skills, etc. They always seem necessary, more necessary than when you see Cristiano Ronaldo do them.
Yeah,
you know, like he's very jinky player, but like it always seems necessary. That's the way you thing with him.
Absolutely.
Makes you wonder what happened with Adam Johnson, because that's surely a player.
Oh, they've got so many good players now, City. That's obvious to say, but I mean, it's really exciting to see what they're going to do this season.
They have indeed. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got a nice little surprise for you. Because throughout the World Cup, we did a little section on the show called Diego Corner, and we were all worried it was going to end there.
I was never worried.
But no, you weren't. Ladies and gentlemen, Luke Moore is currently standing in Diego Corner.
Oh. We brought it back from Joe.
He's unlocked the door and he's gone in.
It's a bit dusty in here. But don't worry, I'll get it feeling like home again pretty soon, I think.
So here we go.
Yeah, well, I thought I'd pop back in there.
Yeah, you never know.
To be honest, it's better than being in with you lot, so...
Outrageous.
All right. Carry on.
Cheapened it forever.
Anyway, Diego Maradona will be offered a new deal that will keep him in charge of Argentina till the summer of 2014. You've probably seen that.
Yeah, four-year deal, up until the World Cup in Brazil.
Yeah, yeah.
Hopefully he'll take Messi was wanting him to take it.
Mm. But he hasn't gone over there to sign the deal yet. But do you know why?
Why is that?
He's gone on the Venezuela to see Hugo Chavez. Hey, Marcus, you bloody love.
God.
You bloody love, don't you?
I've been to that country while he's been in charge.
Good?
scenes.
Do you remember when he came into power? It was kind of like, oh, this is the great white hope for
South America.
South America, and he hates America. And
surprisingly, he's mental.
Yeah, and now he's nuts. He's absolutely
can I,
nuts.
Can I say my favourite thing about Hugo Chavez? There are many, because he is an outrageously ridiculous man. Yeah. But he has his own radio station. Mm. In
is it just him?
Yeah, it's called, the radio station's called Suddenly Chavez.
No, that's the show. That's
oh, is that
show.
A television show? Yeah. No, it's a radio show. And the reason, and it's called Suddenly Chavez because he said, at any hour, at any day, suddenly when you least expect it, Chavez is coming.
Oh,
and what it is, is on the radio.
It's a xylophone thing, isn't it?
It's a harp. Just listening to, on the radio, guys talking or some songs or whatever, suddenly it'll just be interrupted by a harp playing, and that's it. Yeah. It begins. Yeah. And it doesn't have any duration.
David Cameron, take note.
It could go for 8 hours.
Anyway, the reason I'm in Diego Corner is because him and Maradona are having a good old knees up.
Him and Maradona together.
Suddenly, yeah. Diego.
That's outrageous.
Well, Maradona, he said Maradona called me and he will come to the country either Monday or Tuesday. He told me that he wanted to pass through here. And he said he's spending the week as my guest, and so he won't be signing a new contract till he goes back. I told him that I wanted to get a game of football and a game of softball going, and he told me I will pay for all of that.
Even with sort of simple stuff like going to visit his mates, he's really tempestuous. Like, yeah, when you gonna get here? Monday, maybe Tuesday. Yeah, yeah, well, when? Well, I don't know. Do I? Yeah. I don't know what's going to happen on the way.
When he says I'll pay for that, or you'll pay for that, yeah, does he mean sort of financially or metaphorically?
I don't know. Yeah, I just thought that there's no way that Diego Maradona and Hugo Chavez spending time together could be passed by this show.
Absolutely,
that
not.
Is incredible.
Yeah. So that's why. Oh,
Gazza will turn up, demanded to be let in.
Get Gazza in there. Cuban cigars?
Oh, I thought so. Yeah,
two each at the same time.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm going to stay here for a bit. No, I'll come back, but I won't go there again next week.
Diego Corner, ladies and gentlemen.
Can I get like a harp thing for Diego Corner?
Yes. Suddenly, Luke Moore.
Yeah. Great stuff.
Good people of the Ramble.
Mm.
The Dean Windass Hall of Fame is back!
Yay!
Hey!
Is it retaining its name?
Has Dean
continued this sponsorship for another season? So I heard there was a late doors bid from Dion Dublin.
Is that right?
Yeah, yeah. In association with the Dube.
Stop hijacking it.
Sorry.
When you said that, I did a little burp. Like a burp of excitement.
More football.
Dube. Now, if you recall, ladies and gentlemen, I think it was at the start of the World Cup, we said that we would profile a player who perhaps impressed us, did something brilliant at the World Cup itself. Somebody who played at the World Cup.
Is it John Terry?
You know as well as I do that John Terry's already in there.
Yeah.
In that secret one we did amongst ourselves.
Take your mouth out in a minute.
Take your mouth out?
Tape. Take your mouth
up. Tape it up. Not quite so severe.
No.
So, we thought to ourselves, who are we going to put in? And I thought about this player, that player.
They did make it difficult for us, didn't they?
It was very difficult. And one or two players who had a great tournament, like Schweinsteiger, he's a bit young.
Mm.
A bit young. You don't want to do it too soon.
I was hoping you were going to go for Diego Forlan, because I've got a great fact about him.
Played for Manchester United?
He once played for... No, it's not. So, Diego Forlan was ordered to take up football or tennis by his father, because his sister needs a lifetime with medical treatment and they couldn't afford
it.
Didn't
you say this on one of the other shows?
No, I've never said this before. It's a great little fact.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and okay. So he took up tennis and football and then he decided to go with football.
He's like Craig from the first Big Brother.
Yeah, sort of. Yeah, yeah.
But it isn't, but Diego, it's not Diego Forlan.
Right.
It's my esteemed pleasure to say it's going to be San Martin Palermo.
Oh,
San Martin. He's not in yet.
Oh, come on, stop clapping. That's pre-applause, yeah. That is.
San Martin.
Yeah.
So close, that he didn't get
them. He ticks all the boxes.
Oh, and he ticks a big one, I tell you. He was born in 1973.
Which is...
ages ago.
Six years after the Summer of Love.
Yeah.
He won the sperm race.
Oi.
It took him four goes, but God, he did in the end.
God, I've missed you.
Do you know his nickname?
The Titan.
It is indeed.
Isn't one El Loco as well? I know most South Americans are called that. But
as long as you have a passport that is usable in a South American country.
I was chatting to our good friend, like South American Rupert, the other day, and I was talking about the Uruguayan player Abreu,
yes,
and Palermo and Edmundo, and they're all called El Loco.
Yeah. So is Bielsa.
El
Loco down a bruiser.
Oh, St. Martin Palermo. St. Martin. Mm. St. Martin. A bit like St. Peter.
Mm.
Not you. He began his career at Estudiantes in Argentina.
Best way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Student, so.
He was quite a late bloomer, wasn't he, San Martin?
He had two seasons helping the boys back into the first division. They won promotion. Mm. And he was soon joining Boca Juniors. And this is where the story begins.
Yeah,
they love him, don't they?
Oh my goodness, he really is a legend there. Mm. Grossly overused, we often say that.
Not least because one of his best mates is a leader of the hooligan firm there.
Well,
he stands to help.
That is a fact.
Yeah. Yeah. Funny how persuasive that'll be and how popular you are, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, and he is their all-time leader. Well,
if anything, though, that and puts more pressure on him to actually be decent.
Yeah, yeah. True, yeah.
And that's not the reason why he's a legend. There
and he always scores
reasons.
Against River as well.
Yeah, yeah, he does.
Got a lot of...
their big rivals, River Plate. Yeah. When he was at Boca, this is when he became the great goal scorer that we all know him as. And so much so, some of the big European clubs were looking at him. Unfortunately, that was until he suffered a complete tear of the his cruciate ligament in his right knee in 1999.
A complete tear.
Yes. Yeah. And he scored a goal after he'd done it as well.
Yeah.
He didn't know he was injured.
Yeah, that's right.
He didn't know. I've seen people reduced to rubble on the back of a cruciate ligament injury. Grown men reduced to a shadowy husk of themselves. And he thought, I didn't realise.
But this is just how robust the man was, because he picked up so many injuries in his career and came back and so on. And you're right, Pete, you know, he got this terrible injury, but he still managed to play a bit more of the game.
He scored, didn't he?
Yeah, he did score, yeah.
He did. I think it was... it's his 100th goal, did he score?
Yeah, it was, yeah.
Yeah. 1999 wasn't a good year for him because that happened, but earlier on... And I know a lot of people know him for this. He missed three penalties against Colombia.
Copa America, wasn't it?
That's right. Yeah, and I think
not ideal setting.
No, it's actually, no, exactly. A lot of,
when do you stop giving him the ball? When do you stop giving him the penalty?
I was thinking about this, and actually, missing three penalties in a game,
he's going
to
score his fourth.
Isn't that much different to missing two? Because if you miss one, it's sort of like, oh, well, we're giving the, but he's still the penalty taker. He misses another one, and you've sort of really got to give him the third one.
It's a bit
out of order, isn't it?
Again, that shows. Just how much guts and determination the guy has. Because he's still willing to put his neck on the block.
Yeah.
You know, which, okay, some people might think, come on, mate, you've had two, you should. Yeah. But that's just, that is the mark of the
Frankie
man,
Lampard wouldn't have had it. No way.
Exactly. But he is in the record books for that. Three penalty misses in a game, which started just after that. It was a 10-year international exile. Not immediately. Because the next day he gave interviews and he said he's going to get on with his career and so on, and then a few days later he scored a 2-0 win over Uruguay. Yeah. But he did go out of the international game for a while. And unfortunately, because of those three penalty misses, I can remember when that happened actually in 99, and people were laughing going, who's this joker, you know?
Yeah.
You think of the great Argentinian players, and there's a guy who we didn't really know because he didn't really play over here. He did, but that was slightly later. And he was a little bit of a figure of embarrassment, a bit of a figure of fun, you know, which was very unfair. But he did, after he got back from injury, which happened later in 1999, he scored one of his most fondly remembered goals, I'm sure, by the Boca faithful in May 2000 against River. He'd missed the past six months with injury, and it was against River Plate in the second leg of the Copa Libertadores quarterfinal, and he was clearly unfit. If you see the footage, he's clearly unfit, and he's hobbling around on one leg, and they still bring him on. He was introduced with 15 minutes left, and he scored the goal, which is became known as the limp goal. Boca overturned a 2-1 first leg deficit with a 3-0 win. He said it was the most emotional goal of his career.
That is unreal.
But to see the scenes, you know, when he scored, like, it's as if it's the golden goal in the World Cup final. Mm. Everybody just goes ballistic, you know. Because absolutely loved there, really was. Incidentally, actually, I forgot to mention earlier that He's great in the air. Mm. He's a big guy, great in the air.
And he's great in the air to the point where he's got a 40-yard header.
Well, we mentioned that in a minute. But he apparently honed his prestigious leaping talent playing volleyball in his early years, it's accredited to.
With his head?
Well, you can use your head. But you can use your head.
You can use your head. Very true, James. He moved to Europe in 2001 when he signed for Villarreal for around 7.6 million euros, I think it was.
My favourite moment of him playing at Villarreal, can I say it?
Go on.
When he scored a goal.
This is extra time, Villarreal against Levante in the Copa del Rey in 2001. He hadn't scored for a while, I don't think.
No, and he celebrated by getting up on top of like a little wall, which then collapsed and broke both bones in his leg.
Yeah.
The tip and the fib.
It's not funny, really, but
it doesn't. Have you seen the footage of that where he doesn't look like I don't know how he's managed to hurt himself.
Did he go on to score in the game?
Because loads again. Yeah, that's it. I mean, it just
looks like they fall. It's not like a huge height, and it doesn't look like he's involved. It's really weird.
But again, it's just like there's things that happen to the man. He gets his move to Europe. He doesn't. He goes without scoring. You know, he's had ridiculous injuries before. He eventually scores, and he's so pleased. He runs over to the fans. They all come running. He collapses. He breaks two bones in his leg. It just, what else can't happen?
He was on there for like 6 months, wasn't he?
I think he was a little bit longer at Villarreal, but he didn't have a great time there. He signed for Real Betis and then Alaves after, and he didn't have much success.
Weren't Alaves in the second division as well?
It wasn't. Because they were in the top.
It wasn't the Alaves of Jordi Cruyff, was it?
That's right. Yeah, it wasn't them. It wasn't them. But he returned to Boca, much to the fans' glee in 2004, and. He's had quite some time on the pitch since then, really. Well, and off it as well, sadly. But the mental strength of the man. There's so much he's had to come back from in football.
Oh, he's had a terrible personal life.
Mockery as well. Well, I'm just talking about the football stuff. Yeah. And as you say, the personal life. He's always managed to kind of overcome them. And in 2006, just a few days after the death of his. Recently born son, he played.
He scored.
Yeah, and he gave the goal in honour of his son. You know, and also he kisses his forearm whenever he scores, as he has the name of his son who died shortly after childbirth tattooed on his arm. It's a nice little touch. He scored in 2009. He scored. His 195th goal with Boca, which broke Francisco Valerio, his record of 194 in the professional era.
The guy who had the record before Palermo was the guy who's the oldest surviving member of the first ever World Cup final.
In 1930,
And he said, and apparently the guy predicted that Palermo would break it.
That's right, he did.
Ages ago as well, and he said, that's the man who'll break my record.
Yeah.
And it took him a lot longer than everyone thought, but he eventually did it.
Yeah, well, it's his second spell at Boca, and then he scored a bicycle kick, which gave him 200 goals for Boca.
Class. That was a decent one.
Yeah,
well.
He just can't do it normally. 200 goals, well, I'll have that.
Did he break his spine while he did it?
Friend of the show, Joel Richards, who's based out in South America a lot of the time, who writes a lot of stuff for 442. He told me a sort of interesting subplot to the goal that Palermo broke the record with, and he said that Riquelme played the ball through to him, and then refused to celebrate with him because Riquelme's best mate is one of the leaders of one of the Barras, the hooligan firm, and Palermo's best mate is the leader of the other one, because in South America, in Argentina especially, they fight between themselves. They don't fight between clubs.
Well, the league had been shut down a few years ago,
because of it, and it's all for like political power and for sort of lobbying control over the president, stuff like that. And so Riquelme, would have been a symbol of disloyalty to his firm. It's a different world,
but that was a different record though.
That was definitely one of the records.
This was in 2009, but he's Boca Juniors' top scorer in international matches with 43 goals, and although it might be a touch more now, and of course he's now among Boca's top scorers, or their top scorer with, I think it was 221 goals was Roberto Chiro's record, and Palermo broke that. And of course, you've got to mention the 40-yard header.
That was his 208th, I believe.
It's an unbelievable neck muscle.
Like a horse.
Like a giraffe.
So, it's a great one he did from like the halfway line as well.
He did score that
Independiente against.
It's like a football terminator.
Well, it was just a knockdown. Like, he didn't need to go in quite so hard, and the player tried to just pass it to somebody, knocked down, and it was basically, weirdly, he could have taken it on and run at the keeper, but he didn't. He just whacked it as hard as he could straight over the keeper. Beautiful goal.
Route one.
I'd like to say
it's probably call it an English goal, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Can I say at this point, I've been in La Bombonera when Martin Palermo scored.
Have you?
Yeah.
That's why you're doing the profile. Yeah.
That stadium must be sick of seeing that man score.
I thought you were going to say that stadium must be sick of sick you. I've
never been there, one. They'll never be sick of San Martin, no way.
No chance.
San Marcos, maybe.
Yeah. Very good.
There we go.
My true identity has been uncovered. Boch is all time's top scorer, outrageous goals. This was, of course, in 2009, and at the age of 35, this all came
to a head. To a frothy head.
A rainy head.
This came along to an unbelievable twist.
It was my moment of the World Cup.
You're jumping forward. You're jumping very far forward. Okay. In fact, we're still in 2009.
Okay, fine.
He was given
so excited.
This is the international recall.
Yeah.
He was given another call up as a substitute in Argentina's 1-0 defeat against Paraguay, which was people were thinking, what we desperately need to qualify for the World Cup. Why has he recalled this old guy? You know, obviously Maradona. Was it 108 players he used in qualifying or something outrageous like that?
He likes Boca, doesn't he?
Of course, he loves Boca.
And so they lost to Paraguay and they desperately needed a win at home.
What a game this was. We all stood up and watched it.
Against
amazing.
Peru. Now, we've talked about this 1,001 times, but it's about to become 1,002. Yeah. Argentina versus Peru in Buenos Aires. Martin Palermo came on and, of course, scored the goal in the 90th minute to give Argentina a priceless victory. Who would have thought they'd have gone on to play some great football in the tournament?
Well, it's worth pointing out as well that minutes earlier, Peru had equalised with the rain absolutely lashing down. It looked like they were really going to struggle to qualify.
That's
and then
right.
Palermo pops up.
Can I also point out the Shawshank Redemption celebration?
Yeah.
this man was the guy who triggered the Maradona belly flop.
Yeah, he was, yeah.
And on that alone,
the catalyst.
Put him in the Hall of Fame.
The belly flop catalyst.
That's it.
The trigger event. The Archduke Franz Ferdinand.
Whenever Palermo scores an important goal, and he scored quite a few, he's always in tears.
But
you couldn't tell on this. You couldn't tell on this occasion because it was so rainy.
But you knew.
Maradona said after the game, he said, "Martin Palermo has saved us, and our chances of qualifying are intact." He went on to say, "When the wind and the rain and the cold began and allowed Peru to draw level, we could not do anything. But the miracle of Palermo has given us a longer life. The goals I scored were normal. Palermo makes miracles."
It's amazing. He seems to think he's some sort of deity, which most people in Argentina think.
He's rating him above himself, which is amazing.
That never happens.
Well, he's managed to keep his shit past 30. So, to be how does he do it?
It does look like a young man, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Oh, he looks well for his age. Yeah.
Well, he's had some haircuts as well, hasn't he?
Oh, yeah.
I preferred it when he was brown-haired and long-haired. Brown, long-haired.
Mullet,
yeah. Mullet.
Brown-haired and long-haired, is that what you call a mullet?
Let's talk about the World Cup.
Yeah,
he only played for about 11 minutes.
That's all he needed.
And on that 11 minutes, he's the one we chose. At 36, at the age of, again, it just shows what a remarkable career. He's down, he's injured, he's terrible personal tragedies, so on and so forth. He bounces back. I mean, we talk about someone like David Beckham coming back.
Well, you know,
this is just unprecedented.
You know, before when he got recalled for the qualifying games?
Yeah.
Someone asked Carlos Tevez.
Yeah.
Said, "Carlos, you know, what did you say when you saw Martin Palermo reporting for the international duty?" And Tevez said, "I asked him what he was doing here."
You're a journalist now.
Yeah.
At the age of 36, this remarkable man became the oldest Argentinian player to score at the World Cup final.
So if he played for 11 minutes, he's got to be up there as sort of like quickest sort of goals to minutes ratio in World Cup history. Surely.
One every 11 minutes. You do the math.
I think it was only 11 minutes. It was a very short period of time.
Well, if they played him more, they would have won the World Cup. Everyone says they wouldn't, it's a liar.
Yeah, he also became the oldest player ever to score in World Cup history on his debut.
Oh, great.
Oh, wow.
That's a great
start. What a debut.
Of course, yeah.
That's it,
yeah. he was out of this international setup for so long.
Yeah, 10 years, wasn't
it? Yeah, I mean,
that's most people's careers.
Yeah.
But he's 36 years old, and he is the sixth striker in that squad. People are thinking, what on earth are you doing?
Yeah.
But apparently, before he came on against Greece when they won 2-0, he said that Diego told me, "You have 10 minutes to play. Play for your life." And he said, "Frankly, it really surprised me." But when he scored, he said, "It was as if all of the Argentinians scored that goal with me."
Oh, that's nice. Aww.
And they say in Argentina that if God ever made a film, he'd cast San Martin Palermo as the lead role.
It's not overstating the case.
Can we move there for a bit?
Well,
sorry, you're making a film, God. Yeah, who are you going to get to play a lead? Nelson Mandela?
Nah.
Morgan Freeman?
Martin Luther King?
No.
Gandhi?
No.
He's a little player in Argentina. Plays football, actually. Yeah, I thought I'd give him the nod.
Yeah. And also, there's a lot of... there's an area in Buenos Aires called Palermo.
Yeah.
Without blowing my own trumpet, I've stayed there.
Okay.
And it's a very nice part of town.
Oh, what an achievement. I booked a hostel somewhere.
Oh, you sound like me, James. but without the truth. Some of the fans have said that they want an area of Palermo to be called Palermo Martin. They want an area of the city named after this man.
If you can call it Palermo Martin, surely you can call it Martin Palermo.
Well, no, but the area's already called Palermo, so I think maybe they want a comma in there.
Okay.
So it's like on a register or something.
Yeah.
But this is the man who people say that, you know, he doesn't look for the ball. The ball looks for him. So, you know. But to sum up, I mean, just an incredible career, as we said, and Palermo said himself that things happen to me that I can't explain. But a wise man once said, he said, because Martin Palermo doesn't seem to be of flesh and bones, he invented himself as an immortal hero. And when everybody believes that he is finished, he revives himself and he put everyone at his feet. They understand that he is not a myth. And he's coming into the deep end, that's all his name.
And you come.
It's like, I wouldn't be surprised if he just popped up with the Holy Grail. It's just like, I found this.
It's this real sort of South American kind of idea when they're talking about a lot of footballers. There is some sort of like magic realism going on.
Yeah.
It's almost like a sort of Salman Rushdie novel.
Surrounded by mystique.
Brilliant.
Yeah. I forgot to mention, he's the bearer of the Spear of Destiny.
Yeah.
I thought Sepp Blatter had been awarded that.
Well, he took it off him.
Hero. At 36, do you know what his goal record is for this season? Well, this first half of the season, because they have two halves, don't they?
Tell us, Pete.
In 19 games, 10 goals.
Not bad. Wow.
That's better than 1-2.
It's decent.
And he's probably injured.
But we get a move to Premier League.
Yeah. As he's done, bloody, bloody, bloody.
Do you know what? He could.
Yeah,
that's
could.
The thing. Yeah.
Wet and windy nights are his forte.
Yeah.
So in your face, Andy Gray.
He can do a longer slide that way. Yeah. Aided by wind, like a sail.
Yeah.
Sail Martin Palermo.
On his mullet.
Good people, that is the end of the football ramble. The first one off the back of the World Cup.
Only for this week, not forever.
Yeah. If you'd like to get in touch with us, the email address is podcast@thefootballramble.com and our website is thefootballramble.com. And remember, on Fridays, we will be doing Ramble Extra over at 442.com. Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Pete.
Sayonara.
Say goodbye, James or Jim.
Ta-ta!
We're all off to make a massive tax-free profit. Cheers.
Yeah, I'm good friends with James Corden.
Wow, so from Argentina, Boca Juniors' Martin Palermo's spectacular goal, 40-meter header. Did you guys catch this? I didn't. But I'm reviewing about it. I'll tell you right now, if you guys didn't catch this, you missed out. You missed Martin Palermo's spectacular 40-meter goal header. How could you miss that? I can't believe it.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.